get your Bibles out. You're in store for a treat. Brother Dorsey is going to help us read the scripture tonight and give me a break. So, Brother Dorsey, you come lead us.
Take your Bibles to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms 78. We will read this passage responsively in Psalms chapter number 8. Verse 39, Psalm 78, verse 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remember not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. And he had turned the blood in their flesh that they could not drink. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Father, I pray you be with the preacher, Lord, as he comes and brings a message for us tonight. Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray you just fill them with your power, fill them with your spirit, Lord. Father, I pray you just help us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It was Benjamin Franklin who said, "Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it." We have seen this true so many times in our lifetimes. You see, we see it in our lives how we repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have made the same mistake more than once. Brother Sky said, "I didn't want to see your hand." Oh, you were raising your hand for your daughters. Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. You see, the purpose of studying history is to find out what did not work and don't do it again. Then find out what did work and repeat that. Too many people study it and say, well, it didn't work for them, but we could make it work. Socialism is one of those things. Communism is one of those things. Did you know communism and socialism require capitalism in order to survive? A true socialist nation goes bankrupt, and a true communist nation always goes bankrupt. It cannot survive. It cannot make it. Capitalism is the only thing that will survive. Case in point, look at Venezuela. And yet you got idiots like Cortez and these other people, Bernie Sanders or Barney Fife or whatever he is. We've got to have American socialism. Find me a socialist country in the world that has ever had true freedom and economic power with their people. There's not one. Well, it would be different. We've learned from their mistakes. No, the premise of it is wrong. FDR was wrong. FDR has been lifted up as a hero in American history, and FDR was a communist. By the way, the Democrats are pulling a page out of FDR. They want to stack the Supreme Court again. FDR couldn't get the New Deal passed, so he wanted to move the Supreme Court from 9 to 15, and nobody could be over the age of 70, and he wanted the right to appoint them all. That was the only way he was going to get the New Deal passed. Had not three people died off of the Supreme Court, he would have never gotten it passed. It got thrown out of the Supreme Court four times. Everybody doing okay? By the way, sometime try this. Google the New Deal and compare it to the Communist Manifesto. And all 10 points are almost word for word identical. It was FDR who said, "We are not truly equal unless we're equal economically." Wrong answer. Equality meant this: we all have the same opportunity. We don't have all the same thing. I preached on that not long ago. I'm not going into that sermon. The Jews repeated the same mistakes often throughout history. This is not a bash the Jew night, okay? This has nothing to do with that, but it is in reference to the Bible days. In Psalm 78, God is talking here about the time that the Jews were delivered from Egypt and going through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Now, everybody, if you listen to me, I think I can help you tonight. It's amazing how many times the Jews repeated the same errors over and over and over and over again. God said, I'll destroy the world, destroy all the false worship. What did the Jews do? Ham, Shem, Japheth, and Noah brought the false gods from the other side of the flood with them. God said, I'm going to deliver you from Egypt. What did they do? The first thing they did when Moses was up in the mountain, they thought he was dead. They made an Egyptian god. Oh, no, we didn't do that. We just threw everything into the fire, and look what popped out. Sounds like evolution to me. You see, the Jews in the wilderness repeated the same errors over and over. Look at verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? If you go through the book of Exodus, you find out one chapter, Moses is ready to kill them all. God says, no, you can't do that. They're my chosen people. The very next chapter, they ticked God off, and God says, Moses, I'm going to kill them all. I'll start with you and rebuild them. He said, God, you can't do that. About three chapters later, Moses said, God, will you kill all these people? If they ever agreed on the same day, there would never have been a Jew. They also, verse 41, probably one of the saddest statements in the Bible to me. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, watch this, and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Jews limited God. They put a ceiling on God. They limited what God would do because they would not obey him. Now, after all God did to prove that it was God and not Moses delivering them from Egypt, they still turned their back on him over and over. We don't have any water. We don't have any food. We're up against the Red Sea. We're going to die. The Egyptians are chasing us. They get to the other side. Well, we wish we were back in Egypt and had watermelons and leeks. They would rather have been in bondage in Egypt than following God with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, guiding them through the wilderness. Doesn't make sense, does it? They brought false gods of Egypt with them. They worshiped the false gods. They complained to God. They whined about everything. And the Jews really gave God a pretty hard time. Sounds like Christians today. God, I don't understand. Why do you do that? Before you get too upset with them, how about you look at your own life and see how you've done the same things wrong over and over and over again? A very wise man once said when I was in Bible college, he said this, 30 years from now, you'll be the same person you are now, except for the people that you meet and the books you read. You'll struggle with the same things. 30 plus years later, that man was exactly right. You see, we're no better than the Jews were. We think our problems are more serious because we see the end of the story for their lives. But if you were in their shape, where would you be? You see, you have the advantage. You can read and say, well, they shouldn't have done that. Yeah, because you read the end of the story and saw how God delivered them. But how is it in your life? Do you have that much confidence about what you're facing today? You see, we're real good at judging everybody else because we read the story. Your story's still being written. Do you have that much faith while your story's being written? You see, we have no right to criticize the Jews when we keep repeating the same mistakes in history as well. I could talk forever about history. The Greek Empire was overturned by the Roman Empire. You understand Greek mythology, the Greek gods. Do you wonder why then that the Roman government and the Roman Catholic Church 300 plus years later still were worshiping the Greek gods? Do you know that during the first 200 years of the Roman Empire, they still spoke Greek? The Greeks brought a universal language to their empire. It spanned from England and France and Spain and Portugal all the way over to the eastern part of India, crossed North Africa, throughout the Middle East, and to the edge of where China is today, and up all the way to the North Sea there. That was the Roman Empire as well as the Greek Empire. It wasn't the whole world. You say, oh, they ruled the whole world. No, they did not. There were people living in every continent. But that was the center or the hub of the main part of Scripture. Now, God shows us four things in this passage that tells us how to keep from repeating the same things over and over like the Jews did. I'd like to look at those four things so that we don't have to repeat the bad things of history in our lives. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Before I start, I'm going to say something. Modern psychology says, well, you do the things now that you do because that's what happened to you as a child or an infant. And I rebel at that. You are blaming history for what you do. You don't have to repeat history.
You're right.
Well, you turned out to be a pervert because your mama didn't burp you right. You slept on your front instead of on your back. You might have a flat nose, but it didn't change the way you are. Well, you weren't cuddled enough as a child, and now you're not a loving person. No, God commands you to love. Anybody can love. If God commands you to do something, you have the ability to do it. I don't care what your background was. Well, I just can't do that. No, you don't want to do it. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Well, I grew up in a bitter home, therefore I'm bitter. Well, get over your bitterness, get right with God, leave it here at the altar and go back and quit being bitter. I don't care at what you're bitter. Everybody doing okay? All right. Why do we want to keep repeating the same mistakes? By the way, we all do. No, I don't, preacher. I didn't do that sin over and over, but the fact that you're talking about that sin means you're hiding something else. Number one, they limited God in their lives. Look at verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Folks, God does not have any limitations to his power. But we limit him because he won't force his power on us. Did you know that, and I've said it over and over and over again, Brother Juan, God's not going to force you to do anything. We limit him when we say, well, I don't need God for this. I can do this. Sounds like the devil to me. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. I will ascend to the Most High. I will be like God. I shall sit in his throne. Ooh, sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? I could be like God. I know good and evil. Well, I don't see it that way. You got an eye problem. When it comes to God, there's no I, it's a he. It's not an I. You see, God does not limit his power. We limit his power. There is no limit to the electrical power in that plug, in that speaker right now. We limit how it's gotten to, because you wet your fingers and stick your finger in there, or you put your keys in there, you're going to find out there's no limit to that power. It's going to keep on going. Now, you're going to have curly hair, and you're going to go for a while. But may I say something? There's not a limit to it. The power doesn't stop just because you're going to touch it. Y'all understand? Guess what? There's no limit to God's power, but you limit him by how you access it. So many times we go through life and we don't say, I need your help. God, would you help me? God, I need your power. God, would you lift off the limitations here? We put limits on God by demanding that he answer prayer our way. Now I'm getting to preaching. Matter of fact, I probably meddle a little while, so just squirm there for a little while. Did you ever think God didn't answer it your way because he knows something better than you know? Did you ever have a 4 or 5 year old child? But mama, but daddy, I want this. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. And you know they don't want it. But you let them have it. And then they say, oh, I don't want that. Oh, you just wanted it real bad a little while ago. I had something better for you, but you wanted that. Live with it. You have to make your children learn how to make bad decisions and live with the results. Too many people say, well, it's okay, then I'll get you this instead. Uh-uh. Suffer the consequences. You didn't listen to the first time? Suck down the lemon juice. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? Maybe God had more to give you, but you limited him because this is all you asked for. Mary and Martha with Lazarus. They complained to Jesus that Jesus did not come and heal Lazarus when he was sick. They could only see the fact that their brother was sick and that they wanted Jesus to heal him. But I love the story. Jesus let him die. And he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. He said, let's go to the graveyard. I want to see him. They said, oh, behold, he stinketh. A body in the desert heat after 3 days and 3 nights is not going to smell real good. You have never smelled anything till you smell rotting human flesh. It is the worst of all smells, trust me. Jesus said, open up the tomb. They only saw and they only asked for a healing. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. They got a resurrection because he had more power available than they knew. They were disappointed. They were limiting God that all he could do was heal. He said, watch what I can do. I can do more than heal. I can bring him back from the dead. Now, folks, if we go to the funeral home and you get out of your casket, your preacher's leaving. Just so you know. I've said that more than once. I've been in more than one funeral home. And I've said, if that body gets up, I'm out of here. Don't you dare. There's going to be a new exit somewhere. And it's going to be the closest place I can get out. You see, we limit God by how we don't obey his word. We limit God by not moving ahead by faith. We pursued this property. We didn't have much money, but we moved on. We spent what we had and said, oh God, help us. Guess what? And money came in. This came in. That came in. We took another step. Good night. About a year ago, I told Brother Larry, let's get that sign going. We couldn't get the building going. We'd get the sign going. I wanted something built. Brother Barnes and I and Brother Larry out there digging a footer for that thing in the god-awful heat. And then it rained for a week. and I dug the hole again. Got it all out, and it rained again. And I had to dig it out again. We dug that thing I don't know how many times. Finally got cement poured for it. That sign was up almost a whole year before we got our building up. But we decided to go ahead by faith. You just got to go ahead by faith. You got to move by faith. You see, we limit God by forcing him to view life from our sinful view, not from his perfect view. Well, I just don't see why God did that, preacher. Who made you God to see it that way anyway? Who are we to judge God by what happens? Sometimes God's not allowed to have his way. God didn't want Miss Kim to get hit in a car accident by a drunk driver. God's not for drinking. But guess what? God doesn't force his way on anybody. And we all pay the price of people's sins. Ours and others. Well, if I was God, I wouldn't do that. That's why you're not God. Don't worry about it. Quit judging God based on what you see. You see, we limit God by our humanistic, selfish, I'm God-like thinking. Everybody doing okay? Humanism is a religion, started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. I can be like God. I can decide good and evil for myself. Well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. God hasn't convicted me about that. Maybe he has, you just haven't listened. Everybody doing okay? Well, as I see it, or if I were God, how about we take the ceiling off of God? How about Grace Baptist Church, we say, we're going to reach every person we can reach that God will help us reach. We had a lady visiting today, and you know, y'all think it's great we have visitors. I'm not sure where the duck or pucker after I get done preaching. Sometimes I can read them, sometimes I can't. One of the ladies that was visiting today, she walked out and she grabbed my hand as she was leaving to shake my hand. She grabbed it in both hands and wouldn't let go. I said, I'm going like this. And she said, finally, a church that talks the truth. So preacher's not afraid to preach the truth. I said, okay, that one's pretty good. I said, yes, ma'am. I told you, we're going to tell it plain. She said, good. I said, I hope you come back. She said, oh, I'm coming back. Don't worry. Praise the Lord. Yes. Now, not everybody walks out the door says it that way either. Sometimes they slide out the side door so they don't have to see me. And that's okay too. You see, why do we want to limit God? Well, I know other churches, and other churches are doing this. How about we just do what God said? I decided when God called me to start Grace Baptist Church, this was the only book we're going to use. This is the only guideline we're going to use. And I don't care what year it is. Everybody doing all right? I was at the college a couple years ago. And this well-meaning idiot college student came up to me and said, Brother Bush, what's your Facebook address for your church? I said, I don't have Facebook. You don't have Facebook for your church. I said, no, I don't. And bless his pee-pick and little heart, he said, you can't build a church without Facebook. I said, shh, don't tell my people that. Yeah. I said, how many people did you have saved last week? Oh, I haven't had anybody saved for a little while. I said, oh, well, I had this many visitors and this many people saved. I said, we've gone 51 weeks in a row with having visitors. Don't tell me that you can't do it without Facebook. Maybe you need to quit Facebook and put your face in the book. He turned around and walked away. I came back, preached again there several months later. He said, Brother Bush, I got on your website. I said, that's good. He said, you really don't have Facebook, do you? I said, no, I don't. Personally, nor for the church. He said, I never heard of a church like that. I said, don't complain to me about where you go to church. I said, son, you don't need anybody but God. Just remember that. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm not saying Facebook is all sinful, but I've just chosen we're not going to do it that way. Number two, not only they limited God in their lives, but they remembered not his hand. Look at verse 42. They remembered not his hand. They saw the problems, they saw the changes, but they failed to remember the deliverances. Folks, they sat through the 10 plagues and they didn't affect them. They watched the destruction of Egypt. They saw God open the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry ground. They watched God close the Red Sea over the Egyptian army and they went blub, blub, blub in the bottom of the deep blue sea. They watched God give them manna every day. God gave them water out of a rock to take care of 2.5 to 4 million people every day and their animals. God caused their clothes to grow with them. Oh, to God, we'd have that again today. Caused their shoes not to wear out for 40 years. All those things that God did, they saw the problems, but they failed to see the deliverance by God's hand. How many times has God delivered and we sit there and whine and complain because my toenail hurts? I'm having such a bad day. It rained today. Oh, God bless you. Everybody doing okay? They saw the normal disrupted and now they see that they have no freedom. Just because things get disrupted doesn't mean you don't have freedom. They saw the responsibility placed on themselves and they didn't see the release of bondage. Folks, they had to go gather their own food. They had to get the manna for themselves. They had to go get the water for which they had to drink. But before they were even providing the straw to make the bricks for Egypt. And they want to complain about manna? Everybody doing okay? How many times has God provided for us and one little thing upsets the apple cart and you want to whine and complain about how bad God is to you? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'll go eat worms. They saw a desert and a Red Sea. God saw a highway and dry ground. Well, we got the Red Sea there. What in the world are we going to do? And God says, watch this. Grace Baptist Church, let's keep the hand of God's blessing upon this church. I pray hundreds of times every week, oh God, don't take your hand of blessing off this church. Oh God, help us. God, would you keep your hand on our church? And I watch God do some miraculous stuff. I told Brother Dorsey the other day, I said, we're going to go preach a funeral. Then I found out, I wasn't even sure the lady was saved. Her husband and daughter came and sat in my office this week, sat on the couch, told me that his brother told him that at Dee's mom's funeral, she raised her hand and got saved. 7 months ago. We talked for a while. I looked at both of them in my office and said, well, do you know for sure you're going to be in heaven with her? No. Reached in my pocket and pulled out my New Testament and wheeled back in my chair and scooted over there and showed them how to get saved. And a few minutes later, they bowed their head and trusted Christ as their Savior. And 8 more got saved at the funeral. Now, wait a minute. Told you this morning, I was down making some visits yesterday, and Jimbo said, hey, I need you to go see this guy. Told him I was going to sick my preacher on him. Went there, and about 15, 20 minutes later, he got saved. Walking back across the stupid yard, and guy that owned the flea market down there said, hey, who are you? I told him. He said, good. Does your church baptize? I said, yes. And he said, good. My wife and I need to get baptized. I said, come on. He said, well, I can't be there on a Sunday morning. I said, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's service times. You let me know, we'll baptize you. I'm going to go see him this week and see if he got saved. I didn't have the ability right then because he had so many people around him. He said, come on. He said, I'd like to talk to you. I said, good. Folks, they're walking up to me. I'm not walking up to them. That's not normal. That's called God. That's the hand of God. Number three, they tempted God and provoked God. Look at verse 56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. Do you know what the word provoke means? Let's bring it down to where we live. Provoking means you pushed somebody's buttons to get them upset. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Fellas, you know how to push the buttons to make her get upset. You know what to say to get her dander up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'm watching all you guys. You're looking to make sure she's not seeing you right now. Yeah, I went past meddling, man. We just flopped her out there. They were pushing God's buttons. They pushed God and challenged whether he was being good to them or not. Teenagers know how to do this to parents really good. But daddy, mama doesn't love me like you do. It's called sucking up. Wise parents say, what did your mama say? Yeah, let's do what she said. Wise mama will say, what did daddy say? Well, I didn't ask him. Well, let's go find out. Let's get a conference together here. You watch their faces. Say why? Because we won't be on the same page. Everybody doing all right? Man, you just learned a whole lot right there. They told God how they did not like what he had for them and would rather had what they had in Egypt. You talk about ungrateful. I don't know about you. Now, thank God I got saved when I was a little kid. But I can't imagine, Brother Mike, you said this in Sunday school this morning, got saved at 28, 26, 27 years old, a commode hugging drunk. I can't imagine getting saved, taste of the good life, taste of people getting saved, driving that bus, watching little boys and girls, and at the age of 60, decide that you want to go back and be a commode hugging drunk. Doesn't make sense to me. And boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, listen to me. Why do you want to go into that? Doesn't make any sense. They didn't like the restrictions on the fleshly desires that they had back in Egypt. Ouch. They didn't like the restrictions on the fleshly desires they had met while they were in Egypt. They wanted the security of Egypt in the wilderness. They actually thought being a slave in the world was better than freedom with God. I'm going to make a statement here. To the Christian, the world is slavery. I would rather be a bored Christian than an excited slave to the devil. Everybody doing okay? Well, the Christian life, it's so boring. What can you do? Well, you don't have to worry about the next morning when you wake up whether you did something you shouldn't have done. Well, it's just not as exciting. Yeah, those places are exciting and those things are exciting, but they don't end exciting. Immorality is exciting while you go through it, but the results are not fun. Let's not live so that we keep provoking God and tempting him to make judgment calls. You're only going to push God so long. You know, young people, you know what I'm talking about. When mom says, don't do that. Don't do that. You do that one more time. Or in the case of my children, mom, don't look at me that way. They knew they hit the line. Boom. You see, here's the problem. God will only take it so long. Then he'll remove his hand of blessing. He'll remove the guilt and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he'll let you to the world. Then, when they've eaten you and spit you out, barfed you up like a vomit on the side of the road, then you want to sit there and say, oh God, how'd you get me in this mess? Why'd you let me do that? Don't you blame God for that. You're the one that didn't spend time with him. Before you get too upset, how much time have you spent with him today? Number four, and I'm done. They kept not his testimonies. Look at verse 56 again. Yet they tempted God and provoked the Most High and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers, which were turned aside like a deceitful bow. Interesting. They went backwards. Notice it says they turned backwards. Come on up here for a second. Put your Bible down. You won't need it. You don't read it anyway. Face me for a second. He's coming towards right. He's coming towards doing what God wants. But all of a sudden he turns. Turn. And he starts going the other way. God wanted him to go this way. He turned himself. God didn't turn him. Now turn back and face me. It's a little different when somebody turns you, but you decide with whom you turn. That is the same word as repent in scriptures. They turned and went that way. You can do a righteous repentance, but you can do an unrighteous repentance too. You can turn from right to wrong. I watch Christian young people all the time grow up living right. They get a chance to do something on their own. They turn and they go live like the devil for a while.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Dorsey. By the way, not every young person does that. Every young person will face a time in their young adult life where they have to test their principles, though. You're going to find out what you're made out of, and you're going to be unsteady for a while. Can I tell you something? Don't turn away from God. The word testimonies there is the word of God. Those are legal terminology. In other words, you left the laws of God that kept you going right. When those laws are restricted, we'll find out what you're made out of. When you leave the rules of your mom and dad, we'll find out what you are. Everybody doing okay? My wife's aunt and uncle were with us for about a week. And in the last almost 30 years, we'd been criticized some by family, both sides. You just protect your kids too much. You protect your kids too much. There, you shelter them from the world. They'll never make it in the world. Oh, how many times we've heard that. We were driving back from Kentucky. Jacob and Janet were talking about our children, and Janet began to tear up, and she said, "Craig, probably the thing I regret most is I didn't get to know your boys more throughout the years." She said, "What fine young men they've turned into be." I thought, here's my chance. And they had already talked to some family in the car on their phones where their lives are just screwed up and messed up. They have other grand nieces and nephews that in and out of jail, on and off drugs, multiple marriages or partners, and just lives just wrecked and ruined. And I mean, there's not a soap opera in the world that could match it. And I shouldn't have done it. But I said, "Yeah, but we just protected our kids too much, didn't we? We sheltered them from the world too much, didn't we?" And my wife's Uncle Jacob, in no uncertain terms that I will not use in the pulpit, said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You heard all those comments by people in the family." He said, "Yeah, but you knew the end before the beginning. We didn't." He said, "Had we known that, we'd have never said it." I said, "Well, answer the question, how they doing?" "Wish to God all the kids would turn out like that." "Yeah, but we protected them too much." I said, "Tell me, Jacob, can my boys put up in the world?" He said, "Well, Jeff's about to become a police officer, and Josh is doing pretty good." He said, "I'd say they're doing all right." He said, Mindy, of course, are doing great, other than Michael. It's kind of fun having a punching bag up here, you know? You say, what is that? Sometimes you got to stand your ground. I said, but by the way, I didn't tell them what to do either. My kids had the freedom to choose what God wanted them to do, not what mommy and daddy wanted them to do. They turned their back away from God on purpose. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why in the world do we want to turn back to the nastiness of the world? Young people that have never tasted the world, why do you want to turn where everybody in this room has turned away from? It doesn't make sense. They were unfaithful, the Bible says in verse 57. But they turned back and dealt unfaithfully. Can I tell you something? Be faithful to God. Be faithful to the Bible. Be faithful to prayer. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to soul winning. Don't repeat the history of those who get unfaithful. Let me say that again. Don't repeat the history of those who become unfaithful. Can I tell you why? Because unfaithful people always have regrets. And unfaithful people always have a trail of hurting someone in their life other than themselves. Always. Next it says they let deceitful people turn them away. Look at verse 57 again. Like their fathers, they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. Now, this is a different turning than turning away on purpose. It says they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. Come on up here for a second. Here's a young man going through life, and all of a sudden, he's going a right direction, but somebody meets him along the way and says, hey, you don't want to put up with those crazy fundamentalists, do you? Man, there's a whole big life out here. You don't need to go with them. Let me show you how to do it. But we're not going to go all that way, but there's a new way to do things. All of a sudden, he's turned aside. He's detoured. He listened to the wrong influence. You don't need to listen to that old music. We have the same words. We just changed the beat. It's the same stuff. We just put it in our style. That's turning somebody aside. Deceitfully. That's how the devil works. It means he got with the wrong crowd. Thank you. I've said this before. I don't care what age you are. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. I've introduced you to my friends, some of them. Brother Drellyard from Maine, Brother Bulkley from down in Texas, got Brother Fugit coming. That's my crowd. Say, preacher, why do you have friends like that? They intimidate me. They're going to keep me going the right way. If I get out of line, one of them is going to whack me really good. I want them to. I friends like Brother Arcola.
Yeah.
Friends like Brother Dorsey's dad. Brother Jim Gelhausen up in New Jersey. These are my friends. Say, what are you, preacher? Let me show you my friends. I'll show you what I am. You show me who your friends are, and I'll show you what you are. I don't care whether you're an old person, a young person, a teenager. I don't care if you're a middle-aged person. You show me your friends. I'll show you what you are. You see, religious modernists and liberals will try to draw you away. They take just enough of the truth to say, we've got the truth. Oh, the one thing that bothers me. Well, we believe the King James Bible is inspired in the original language. In the original copies. That's modernism. If it's not a living, breathing word of God now, let's just close the doors and go home. People with bad ethics will try to draw you away. I'm going to go ahead and say it. People with bad ethics are going to try to get you to go to another church. Well, we're just like that. I don't have bad ethics that way. Everybody doing okay? People from the world in your past life will try to draw you away. If you come out of the world, you're going to have people say, how come you're not hanging around us anymore? How about you come back? Can't do it. People with Facebook and social media, a virtual, unreal world, will try to draw you away. It is a virtual world, an unreal world. You can say anything you want without fear of consequence. But may I say something? Every word has consequence. Whether in a real world or a perceived unreal world. I gotta quit. The Jews were a pain in the neck to God. They really were. They complained over and over. They limited God. They remembered not his hand of blessing. They tempted and provoked him, and they didn't keep his testimonies and were unfaithful. And yet they were his chosen people. He loved them so much, he continued on and said, you're still my chosen people. But they wouldn't let him be God. May I say this? Let's not repeat that history in our lives. I don't want you to repeat that history in your life. I started preaching almost 39 years ago. This summer, I'll go preach in Illinois for the man he's now pastoring, who is my youth pastor. He's begged me for years to come preach for him. I won't do it because I won't miss a church service to go preach somewhere. He moved his Wednesday night church services to Tuesday night for the summer so that I'd come preach for him. I can't tell him no. So I'll go preach for him. Now listen to this statement. I'm still preaching the same way I did 39 years ago. The same way. Same book. Have the same standards. Haven't changed anything. Still soul winning. Still believing it. Still doing it. Still having people saved. Can tell you something? God didn't change. And I hope to God someday when I'm old and wore out and they put this ugly body in a casket, that I can say I went down swinging the same old bat. I'm going to be like the soldier in the book of Judges whose hand clave to the sword. They're going to have to pry my fingers off of that sword just to get it off there. You're going to have to pry that thing out of my hands when I'm dead. Say why? Because I'm just going down swinging it every step of the way. No sense in changing, not turning aside, going to keep the same message, same book, same way, same methods. Say why? Because we have the same God. He didn't change. Let's not repeat history the way the Jews did. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Folks, too many times we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. I wonder, how about we change history? Let's not repeat it.